Ooh, that's a banger. Oh.
Okay. Yeah. Feeling all right, myself.
All right. So season two. Yes, season two. Let me put a hold on this. All right. And this is crazy.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
Okay. So before we begin, I must disclose that this content is not suitable for the persons or children under the age of 17 without adult supervision. So if you could, please remove the youth or the children out of the room or take another time to listen to this. It's not that important, all right?
It is important.
No, we're just having the kids. Yeah. 3, 2, 1. Okay. So, man, we're back. Anyways.
We are back.
Welcome to Aisle 7. My name is Savage, and this is my wife,
Lethe.
We are in the Cove right now, our home base of operations, and this is Beach Talk for the long walk. Now, right now, we definitely would like to give a big and warm thanks to our sponsors, Anchor, for the free distribution of our podcast. We do not take that lightly. Go ahead and download the Anchor app. Look us up at Aisle 7, the podcast. At the end of the day, it's all about self-progress. Today's episode is dedicated to my niece. She's no longer with us. She had just recently passed away. Baby Vi Wiley. We want to send our thoughts and prayers and just condolences to my sister Ofi and brother-in-law Michael Wiley. Our spirit is with you. We're definitely praying every day over you guys. So we don't know what that feels like, and we hope and pray that that just doesn't happen to anybody, because we can only imagine how you feel. But just know that we're here in support of your guys' situation. If you ever need anything, you know what to do. Just let us know. You have any words you'd like to share about that?
Yeah, prayers and thoughts to my sister and love, the Alfie, and Micah Wiley. We just wanted to tell you from the bottom of our hearts that we truly love you guys. Prayers goes out to you guys as well. And I don't know how it feels, man, as a mother, but I do know this. God has a different plan for each and every one of us, that we're just here for temporarily.
You're doing good.
And just
one with the vocabulary.
Just one.
It's Baby Vi playing with
baby
you.
Baby Vi, she has a better seat right next to our father, So with that being said, I want you guys to know you guys are doing a great job being strong as parents and, just coping with everything that's going on. So we love you guys.
Thank you for that. It means a lot. Our thought of the day. Finish. Our rule of Savage, when you start something, you finish it. It's underrated, but most people that start anything, whether it's a project, a business move, or, moving into a new place, or just start meeting new friends, when you start, that's the easiest part you can do is start something.
Yeah.
The hardest is actually going through it to finish, finish seeing it through, right? But, it just comes in time learning how to gain the ability to finish things you start.
Yeah.
Our song of the day, this is a throwback. My wife definitely wanted it highlighted. But this is Avant, 4 Minutes. This was released in 2006.
4 Minutes.
Yeah, it was released in 2006. So whatever you were doing at that point in time, I hope this sparks a memory or a flashback. And here we go.
My minutes.
Oh, man. I remember what I was doing.
Yeah, you know what
you
I was
remember
doing?
What you were doing.
I know exactly what I was doing.
What were you doing?
I was being locked up in the house playing this
you
song.
You damn right. I know exactly where
COVID-19
I was locked up.
COVID-19 happened that time. I wasn't allowed to go nowhere, but...
Okay, so that was 4 Minutes by Avant, once again, released in 2006. Whatever you were doing around that time, I hope that sparked a memory for you.
Yeah.
our number of the day is 9. Wherever you're at the moment you see the number, just kind of bask in the moment. Like, really what's going on around you when you see that number. And we hope that speaks or you know, validates something for you. Our color of the day comes by way of purple. If you see it, say it. Purple, purple.
Purple rain. Purple rain.
Okay. Oh, all right. Man. Our person of the day is Ruby Bridges. In 1964, Ruby, who is an African-American student, was entering, I believe, elementary. She was only 6 years old, but she entered in a time of segregation and civil rights, where she was the first black student to enter into an all-white school. If you're not aware of who she is, once again, look her up and do, you know, your research and study on it. It's an important part of history, because if that didn't happen, you know, we probably wouldn't have public schools right now. Mm-hmm. So Ruby Bridges, look her up. She's a very important person in history, especially American history. Our quote of the day, would you like to read that?
Yeah. A quote of the day. If you're always trying to be normal, you will never know how amazing you are.
And that is spoken by way of Maya Angelou. Yes, Maya Angelou said that. And, you know, it's true. It really is true. Like, if you're always trying to normalize yourself because you feel it's right to be normal, then you miss out being different and how amazing that can be, you know? Sometimes people need a little bit different in their life. Our goal of the week. Help someone you don't know. Help someone you don't know. If you see somebody who needs help and you're questioning, should I go over there and help them, but I'm self-conscious and stuff, eliminate that. Think of somebody in your family who might need that help and that you pray that they received it. You know?
Or just put yourself in their shoes. As simple as that, you know? Yeah. So,
Our moment of congratulations. We want to say a big congratulations to our loving sister and friend, Jay
Bushi.
Jay Rue of Jayako Fitness. Yes, Jay Rue of Jayako Fitness. Jay Rue is a very close friend of my wife. They played rugby together, and they're very close friends even outside of the sport. She recently had just opened up her fitness program. It's a fitness business that she runs herself. And if you're not aware, follow her on Instagram now at Jayako Fitness. Yeah, I mean, she's doing wonderful things, empowering women through fitness and health. You got to catch her now, man.
Yes. Yeah, check her out, man.
And workout tip for the day. If you're just sitting around listening, even right now, you know, if you're not in the gym, hey, push-ups. Get however many you can in. And there's nothing wrong with doing them on your knees. They call them girl push-ups. Hey, a push-up's a push-up. If you push it up off the ground, that's working the body. So, yeah, push-ups for today.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a new segment on our show, and we call this the PI scene. Yes, the PI scene, Pacific Islander. We'll dive more into why we call that the PI scene. But the PI scene basically highlights somebody in our community that no one is aware of that is pushing something they're very passionate about that could possibly change the community or the world. So somebody that we're going to highlight on today's episode is an artist by the name of Kite of a group called Dark Horse. And we had a moment to speak with Kite and interview him, like, you know, basically some things that we were interested about in him. Yeah. So we asked, you know, seven questions.
Yeah.
And, you know, the first question we had asked him was, where are you from and what do you represent? Kite had answered he was from Salt Lake City, Utah. Shout out to Salt Lake City, Utah.
Shout out to Keith.
Everybody from out there representing the community, you know, Pacific Islander or not. Hey, man, shout out to Salt Lake City, Utah. I'm going to screw that up, my bad. You know, we asked him, what do you do or what is your profession or career that you're in? You know, he definitely does music. He has a combination between K-pop and rap, a little bit of everything. Doesn't really hold himself to a standard or a category. If he feels the beat, he'll make something out of it.
Yep.
If he can make a banger on any beat, he's going to push himself to do it. The third question we had asked him was, you know, is this a passion or a job? I think most people who jump into a line of career that they're not aware of either discover that late or in the beginning.
Yeah. And like saying you had the talent given to you, but it's not really your passion. Yeah. Does it make sense?
Oh, yeah.
You just do it.
You can miss it entirely.
Yeah, you just do it because you're good at it. But but it's different when you're passionate, you know, about it. Yeah. So
we asked him, is this a passion or job? He simply stated it was a passion. He's always been into making music, singing, rapping. and whatever it took so long he didn't know why it took so long for him to actually get into the studio, but he's very happy that he did.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're happy you did too, Togo, because honestly, that shout bang bang, that song, man.
Oh, that was his song beginning. Yes, that was his song. Just to let you guys know. But
the fourth question we'd ask them was is, what is your purpose in this career choice? What is your purpose in this career choice? The fourth question. And he'd say, you know, to kind of, you know, party, things that he had been through, struggles, pain, family, relationship, you know, to highlight that into his career choice. He wanted to share that as his career in music was that, you know, that's where his passion comes from. That's, you know, that's really just like why he's doing it. That's what's pushing him to do it, is he wants to bring awareness to the type of artist he is and what he's about. So we definitely vibe with that. The fifth question we asked him was, what is your dream? You know, what is your dream? Mm-hmm. As far as the fifth question. And he said his dream was to improve from each song he puts out, to make it better than the last one, and to show people that they don't have to stay with one genre or type of music. There's no rules to the game. I mean, that hits deep. I'm not a musical artist, but I can say I do know a few people who are artists, really passionate about their music and their craft. And it's like, that's a difficult concept to think that people could push you into one category because they think you sound like that, but they're not aware that you're actually talented enough to cover other types of music.
Yeah.
I can see that. Our sixth question was, when it's all said and done, what do you want people to remember about you? He simply answered, that's a hard question. I never thought about that. But right now, I would say that it would be my versatility in different types of music. That came by way of Kite. And he was, I think that's pretty simple. Well said. I mean, if anybody's going to remember Kite, that you remember him for his versatility in his music. Seventh and final question. When you're not grinding, what are you doing to enjoy life? When you're not grinding, what are you doing to enjoy life? I think that's important.
Very important. You got to have some time for yourself.
Yeah, you have to.
You know, you got to take some time out of your day to really just focus on you. Because if this is not good altogether, it's no point.
Yeah. He answered, he is a father of three. When he's not doing music or working, he is simply with his kids and wife, spending lots and lots of time with the family. He loves to shoot, so he goes to the gun range with his friends and family. And, I think that's pretty simple. It's as simple as it gets. Seems like a pretty wholesome dude.
Yeah, family man.
Yeah. We asked him for a message of positivity that you'd like to share with our listeners. Kite wants our listeners to know, or our viewers. if there's something you want to do in life, go after it now. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Just go. Be safe. Be aware of your surroundings, but, that's simply what, that's what he wanted to share with you guys. So I respect that, and I think it's always important to hear that come from the source.
Yeah.
You can find Kite on SoundCloud and Instagram at Dark Horse Kite. Dark Horse Kite. He wants to shout out, of course, his group, Dark Horse. Sione Toki.
You're next.
Sione Toki. Mahon Rai Toki. Zach Langi, Kivi Afuvai, Papu Toki, and Martin Tafa. These are guys he involves himself very close with, so he shouts those guys out.
Yes.
Now, we're moving on. Do you have an opening statement?
Well, first of all, I want to just thank you, Vite, for investing your time to invest in this. Just a word and just getting to know each other through social media. It's a big thing, We just want people to send out a positivity message and see what other people are doing out there. So thank you for taking the time and out of your day to just, hit us up about that. So,
yeah. And mine is just wash your hands. So at this point in the segment, you know what this is, the most important out of all of them. If we can't do this, then nothing else matters. Prayer point. So let's go ahead and take that now. Okay, well, that being said, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we will start the show.
Yay! And
here's one for the haters. Bow! Okay, welcome back. Jumping right into the discussions, our seven subjects for today. Reflections, Polynesian, Black Lives Matter, quarantine, life now with four kids, last generation, and Zulu. What would you like to speak on?
We can go to the first one, just like how it is. Reflection from the bottom.
Okay, so basically just a real brief run through on that is just what we went through to get to this point. Yeah. What we went through to get to this point. Yeah. Talk about it.
I'm not going to say we're done. We're still going through it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. That's for sure.
But we'll just talk about
those bumps.
Yeah, it's been a journey. From reflecting from season one to now, we have been doing a lot of growing, a lot of, because communication is a big part of growing, you know what I mean? Because if you don't say anything, you don't know where you're going.
It just lingers.
Yeah. So just to touch up a little bit, I'm not going to get into it too deep, but just the little things that we've gone through or still going through is how to react to things when it does hit you right on your face. You know what I mean? How did I handle it? How did I take it from 10 years from now to now? You know? And I can just briefly talk about, like, something happened in the past and the way I would take it, I would react then versus now. I've grown so much as a person, and I'm not going to speak for him because he has a different perspective. Well, it's still the same, but for me personally, I've always the type to panic. Panic about anything. It could be like the rent due tomorrow, or it could be the car breaking down, or gas light is off, or just as simple as that. And it'll bump me up from 0 to 100. And then instead of like how I am now, the reason why I'm bringing that up, because of how I take it now
versus back then,
you panic and you come back, the problem's still there. So what's the best way to do it? Is really gather your thoughts, think about it, because it's still gonna be there, and look for solution. And that's exactly what I've been doing. What I've been not practiced, but I've been seeing myself doing, and it got to a point where like, it just is. I'm not stressing over it. I'm not panicking over it. But the me before 10 years ago, I would try to make everybody in my surrounding feel that panic that I'm having. Does that make sense?
Just to see how urgent the situation really is.
Yeah, it's almost like I was gonna have to throw it over to you. Hey, take over it. You know, I don't wanna deal with it. But the way I am now, it's like the rent due today, by all means, this is all materialistic. I'm good. My sanity is more important than that. You know, I can be on the street, I can be over there, but if I'm happy, I'm happy. The Lethe before would have been like, heck no. I'm making sure everybody feel my pain, that the rent is not paid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So with that being said, there's more to it, but that I just wanted to talk about that because that's something that I've grown from the last 10 years that we've been together, or me as a person. So what you got?
Well, first I want to say, like, I definitely hear what you're saying and where you're coming from. And you have definitely grown from panicking to now you take it one breath at a time,
yeah.
You know? For me, I get emotional when I think about it. And I don't want to cry, but like, you know.
Cry?
No, I'm not a cry baby. I'm just saying, like,
just a joy.
Like, when I think about our mindset of how low we got at times. Like,
speak it, brother.
You know, shut up. Jesus Christ. Like, you know, it really, like, you know, even this walk in Christianity, I still have my questions. But I do understand one thing is like, I believe in God to not only be my Lord and Savior, but to bring understanding in the times that I'm in, whether it be good or bad. If I can pray and worship Him in the good times, what am I doing in the bad times? And like reflection wise, you know, me and my wife have been fucked over a lot. You know, it gets tough thinking about where I'm at and where my feet are, to be where my feet are. When I'm so vivid in my memories of like, man, do you remember not just too long ago, but you and your fucking wife were like dog shit poor and rock bottom, and it was really just no reassurance of where you were gonna be tomorrow. Like, I'm not just even speaking about recent events. I'm talking about we've hit these fucking bumps in the road. And, you know, some of it was self-inflicted. Other times, people had just did us wrong. And, you know, we don't need to highlight that. And it, obviously, some of you have witnessed that, been through it, or even currently going through it. And I'm just here to tell you, if we made it, you're definitely going to make it. Whether you speak it through a podcast or you share it to the next person and that frees them up, reflecting back on it now, anything that I feel is tough, man, I just think back to that. I'm like, man, if I made it through that, we good. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we've been, like, we highlighted this last season was that we've been unlawfully evicted. You know, people have turned their backs on us. Times when we needed help. Those we needed the help from weren't even there to help us. And we're not complaining in that way, but the lack of understanding.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, the lack of the understanding we had at that time was we needed to just happen. It had to happen for us to understand. It's just strengthening us for the next big thing, the next big move, the next season, the next storm. And now I can honestly say and confidently say, man, just as long as I have my wife next to me, every challenge we meet together.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we take that experience and apply it to the next challenge. So
yeah,
reflecting as far as that, I mean, man, it humbles us basically.
Yeah. So. And just a little bit before we moved on to the next, just to kind of like write off what you just said. Yeah, man, like we been through a lot and we're still going through it and we're grateful, we're blessed. You know, I'm glad that we do go through those hard times because those hard times is what's going to make, like, it's what's going to test us out. Because, you know, the energy that you keep with a good season, you should keep the same energy with the bad times. But I'm not saying like it just came overnight. We had to go through it to really see, like,
yeah, basically episode one of season two, we're reflecting on the fact aisle 7 would have never happened if we didn't go through those moments. Thank you to those people.
Thank you.
God for those moments.
Yeah,
because we're not only tougher on the other side, but man, we're not panicking, and we definitely know what to do when it comes.
And the best is yet to come.
Yeah,
you
man.
Know? So
yeah, I'm good with that.
I'm good with it, bro.
We definitely pray healing and peace over you guys if you're definitely going through that, or you know somebody that's going through it. Just be there with them in a positive manner
and
just
support
them. Yeah, support them the best way you can with what you're available with.
Yeah.
So, that was reflections. What I'd like to move on to is Polynesian. Like, say that with me. Say Polynesian.
Polynesian.
So Polynesian is a Latin word to describe, you know, indigenous or natives from the South Pacific Island region. So basically, if you're in the South Pacific Ocean and you inhabit those islands, that's how you're described in the Latin language. Poly, or poly meaning many. Nesian meaning island or islander. And basically what I wanted to highlight about this is I no longer, and this is my decision, this is what I wholeheartedly and truly believe in, is I no longer identify with the word or the term or the meaning of Polynesian. Because one, I don't speak Latin, nor does the island that I come from speak Latin or anything of that nature. We don't speak Spanish. The home spoken language is Tongan, or, you know, Tonga, or the Kingdom of Tonga, the last monarchy in the island. That is not native to my island. So to identify with a word that's not native to where I'm from, it's almost weird. You know what I'm saying? Like, how could that be classified in our... We don't have a word in our language for Polynesian. The closest I can think of is Kainga, right? And that's describing a group of people, you know, a village, or... If my wife will dive deeper into that, but basically what I'm saying is I no longer, as of this moment in 2020, identify with the word Polynesian, because it doesn't even seem natural to say it when the word itself doesn't come from oceanic or Pacific Islander, you know, history itself. So what I now identify with is PI, or Pacific Islander, because it's not only is it more accurate, but you see it on the scantrons you fill out, Native Pacific Islander or other, or Native Hawaiian. I mean, I would rather identify with something that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? I mean, PI itself is not in the vocabulary, but I'm just saying I would rather identify with something that makes a little bit more sense to me. What do you think about that?
Yeah, Polynesian, to be honest, I was never taught that word. Like, it was, I think when I was growing up in Tonga, you know, from what I mentioned back in season one, I never knew the difference from us, like other islanders, you know what I mean? But I think it would make sense if they just say Pacific Islanders, because we're all many islands, you know what I mean? But like my husband said, Kainga really is, like, if you were to ask, like, you go to Tonga, like, or just any island, they'll ask you, like, where are they from? They'll say, Kainga from Muli. And Muli means it's like someone that it's not familiar with the area. You know what I mean? I'm not going to talk about that because that's not what we're talking about. But just Kainga
in general
was almost like a word that we never really used, because we were using family, which is family, more to a group, you know? But they would say like Kainga, like a group, like there, or a group here. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, which is why it's kind of weird to just say Polynesia, because I mean, that is what they've been using, you know, all these years. But like he said, like anything here in America that we've signed up for or anything, we're considered Pacific Islanders. You know, it doesn't have anything there that says Polynesian, Micronesian, Melanesian, or
those are scientific terms used to categorize
people
that don't even identify or know what that word itself means in origins.
Yeah, and that's the only reason why we're touching up on it, is just to bring an awareness that...
So do you identify with the word of Polynesian anymore?
No.
No. I'm not saying if we're offended.
That's just
somebody,
us.
Yeah, if somebody calls us Polynesian, that's just your understanding that that's where you heard that word from somewhere, and that's what you identify.
To be honest, I don't want you to call me Polly. Polly means big.
It means many.
No, well, many.
I see what you mean.
You know what I mean? So call me P.I. I'll take that. Pacific Islander.
Definitely identify with P.I.
So...
That's how I feel about that.
Yeah.
And that's our daughter.
Yeah.
So yeah, moving forward. That was Polynesian. Our next subject, I guess this will be really brief, but Zulu.
Ah, no. We'll talk about him after.
You want to pick him after?
Yeah. That's
okay.
Like,
how about life with four kids now?
Yeah, we can talk about that.
Go ahead. Speak on it.
So life with four kids, man. Yeah, I just had a baby a month ago, so
yeah.
Shout out to all my kids and my newborn. Honestly, it's kind of for four kids, it's almost like I'm going backwards. Like,
what the?
Yeah, no. So
explain.
No, and I'll explain. There's a lot of things that I'm now finding myself doing that I didn't do it with my firstborn. So such as, why is he crying now? Like, or why is this? Or why, you know? But, like, if you were to catch me back then, like, when I had my first two kids, it was almost like I had it down, superwoman this, blah, blah, blah. Now it's like, I'm still a superwoman, but it's like, why are you crying? No. But I think it was a lot of changing for us, because immediately we got pregnant right after the third kid. So there's like not even like a gap of, you know, like a little where I can kind of cater to the third kid. Now the fourth kid just came and took over. So now I'm kind of like taking all the energy that I have from the newborn, because he needs more attention than anything. And I'm telling you, when I say my kids are not crybabies, this kid is such a crybaby.
Son, if you watch this later on, years to come, just know we meant that in good intent.
And
Jesus
he does,
Christ, you're a crybaby.
And he does, you know, get me on my toes, if I do still have toes. But he does. He gets me to move, like, not like how... But then again, I do have other helps when I first had my first child, because immediately I had the working mode at that time. Mm-hmm. So I went right back to work. But with this fourth kid, I'm a stay-at-home mom. And, you know, I was always able to be at home. So, yeah, that's how I feel about the fourth kids.
Yeah.
Well, what do you feel?
I don't feel anything. Like, right now, my kids are just everything to me and my wife. Like, I'm just family-oriented. But as far as right now, yeah, we got four kids, and I'm still trying to fathom the fact that the fourth kid, you know, is just as crazy as the other three. But, you know, each one of my kids help me and my wife out in their own way. Yes, you know, they whether do. They make us laugh or remind us why we started this, or like literally help us around the house, man. They do a great job. So.
And I shout out to my oldest. She's been doing an amazing job.
So yeah, I'm good with that.
I'm good, man.
So we're gonna take another break. When we come back, we're gonna continue the discussion. Go get some water, something to eat, or just drive slowly. We're gonna take a break. Okay, we're back. So carrying on, go ahead. We got four subjects.
Black Lives Matter, or The Last Generation, Guaranteed, and Zulu.
Okay.
Which one do you want to go with?
Well, we'll go with Quarantine.
Quarantine.
Basically, is what has everybody been doing since, I guess, the second phase of quarantine now? Because, you know, closing businesses back down again. I guess we apparently couldn't behave ourselves. But for me personally, man, I just now started working out again. And it's hard to work out with the limited spacing and time in gyms. Like, even with the new place we moved into, you know, and shout out to everyone that has been supporting us. But, I mean, I can't access the gym as much as I wanted to, like I used to.
Yeah.
I'm damn near 300 pounds, bro. Like, I can feel the weight of my body. And that's not complaining. It's just like, that's what I've been doing in quarantine, was eating. Now I'm trying to get back in shape. And it feels weird that I'm even this much out of shape. This is the most out of shape I've ever been in my life.
Right.
But yeah, that's what I've been doing since quarantine, is trying to get back into working out. I think I'm in the third week now. So what about you?
I think I took it as like, I'm revealing a lot of things within myself.
Ooh. Oh yeah, you have been in the Bible.
Yeah. I have been finding myself doing a whole lot of things that I've never done before, reading. Like, yeah, I never read before.
She's been reading.
I've been reading. I have been like trying to study certain things, looking into things, listening to things. I'm listening to podcasts. I've never done that before.
Yeah, shout out to all the PI podcasters, fellow PI podcasters, and even podcasters starting now. Shout out, man! Just get it done.
It's things like that that it tells me, man, this is pretty cool, man. You know, while people out there thinking of it as like, why can't we go out? You were just complaining about, I don't have time off for work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? From work. Like, I can't spend time with my family. I'm revealing a lot of things within my family, my husband, my kids, things that I've never knew since I've been dating this guy for 50 years. Like, how many years that we've been together. Is knowing how to serve each other, you know, as a husband and wife. I'm learning that, you know what I mean? And we're so into our schedule that we don't take the time to tell our loved ones we love you, or hey, can we have a dinner night tonight, or can we have a movie night tonight, or things like that. We don't do that no more, because it's like that was what our ancestors were doing back in the days, you know, finding the little things to be grateful with. And that's exactly what I've been finding. I've been finding that money doesn't buy anything, but you do need money. You know what I mean? You do need it.
Doesn't buy happiness.
Yeah, it doesn't buy happiness, but you do need it. It's the way you prioritize
it. Right.
You know what I mean? So like, to me, like, because my husband, he'll do one thing that you know, I don't do it. He'll go take the kids running around the bike outside, swimming, watching a movie, things like that. It means everything, because when your kids grow up, they remember those times, you know? If they grow up and just see us working, we're on the schedule, it doesn't mean anything, man. So that's what I've been finding myself, that I'm really into family time is everything, spending, investing in my husband, speaking life to each other, and just serving my husband. It's a good thing, you know? Yeah, of course, yourself first, but it comes after you see yourself doing it, you know, repeating it. So with that being said, that's what I've been doing. I've been learning a lot. I've been learning a lot of new words because, you know, you see my episode, my husband is always making fun of me, but I've learned a lot of just how to talk, how to approach things and things like that. That's what I got.
Oh, well, one, yeah, I definitely want to highlight and congratulate the fact that you've definitely been reading a lot because your vocabulary has grown. I mean, as much as I give you shit for, like, fobbing out at times, you've been doing a really, really good job of speaking what's on your mind, you know, grammar-wise, and your vernacular has improved. But moving back to what we were just talking about with the quarantine, like, even with, yeah, like, my wife was saying, like, we've definitely been studying each other a lot more, like, the other day, we were just up at 3 in the morning, and we just started talking. We always have deep conversations, but, like, when it's that time of the night and the kids are quiet and it's just you two, it reminded me of, like, when we were younger in our relationship, and we were just talking about our aspirations, like, what we wanted to do with our relationship versus, man, I can't believe we got those things done. What do we do now? And, yeah, we've definitely been learning a lot more. Definitely... Since the second phase is quarantine. So some people I was partnered up with. I'm not gonna mention them. Beyond it. You know, I'm over it. I'm at peace with it. I'm no longer doing in partnership with them in their organization. But you know, I had been basically kicked out or fired from business with them due to a social media post that I had posted. And they didn't take a liking to it, nor did they believe that represented their organization. So they, you know, they formally called me and let me know, hey, we can't do business with you because that doesn't represent our organization. And that was tough. I had to deal with that. I haven't been to church.
Yeah, and I think a lot of this whole time, it brings the realness in people, man. It brought the real picture of the people that's been masking things, you know, like acting like they're this person, but you guys are so up at home that it changed the person. It changed you, you know, mentally, physically, emotionally. And that, babe, I can say that you've been doing a great job. I know how hurt you were when that whole thing happened, but I know that we're into a bigger thing. We're into a different journey, and whatever it is, we're ready for it, you know?
Also, like my wife was speaking earlier, just definitely diving into more new podcasters out there, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely, I'm very heavily influenced by one, actually a few.
Yeah.
Power of Perception podcast. Shout out to Langi Hola.
Langi Hola.
Langi Hola of Power of Perception podcast, or POP. Maveu Hey Moody from Village Made podcast, and his whole company. They're doing a wonderful job. Also, another mention of the Garden Boys.
Those are doing a great job.
The growth is just crazy in our community of people using their platform to highlight more of our community and what we're about. So just shout out to everybody. And even people who are coming about now, man.
Yeah.
Me and my wife, we hope that, you know, if anything we do, we push you to push what you believe.
Exactly. And just do it. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. Even if you have no content.
It
doesn't even have to, even if you're just there to just talk. You know what I mean? So
whatever you do, just do it, man.
Just believe in it.
Okay.
Well, I'm good with it. I'm good with it.
Go ahead. And it's your turn.
So, and then we come back. Oh, so we only have three, right?
Yeah.
So we have like Black Lives Matter, The Last Generation, or Zulu.
Okay.
We'll go with the Black Lives Matter.
Okay.
So I'll just touch up on Black Lives Matter. I don't have too much to say about it, but really just, it's really sad. It's a very, bad, like the, just now, the things that they're dealing with that us Pacific Islanders are kind of like, you know, in it to everybody in this whole world. So for me, personally, what I see with Black Lives Matter, like I mentioned on season one, I didn't really know the history like that up until my, you know, meeting my husband and just knowing more to it. But I really do think it's unfair. I do think there's a lot of things that us people that standing from the side can be the problem if we don't say anything, or if we don't speak up, or if we don't do anything about it. Even as simple as checking up on a friend, letting them know we're here, letting them know, like, hey, man, like, I hear you, I feel you. And shout out to Josh, your boy Josh. We just had this conversation
about
it.
Shout out to Josh the Prophet. Love you, brother.
Yeah, we just had this this conversation about it, and it just brought me into thinking like, man, let's just say if this is happening in my community, you know what I mean? I can only imagine they've been dealing with this for years, you know? So for me, the most I could do is pray for them, just be the lookout, seeing what they got going on, and just praying for them, you know, just really telling them that we feel them, we hear them, we're there for them if they ever need anything. So that's what I got from Black Lives Matter. What you got, babe?
So, first of all, we here at OutSeven, the podcast, definitely believe that Black lives do matter.
Yeah.
Like, people who are Black, their lives, it matters. Yeah. It matters wholeheartedly. Yeah. To think that a people, it's inhumane to think that a people of a certain skin tone do not matter because of their skin. So when you say Black Lives Matter, it's not, no, all lives matter. Why the narrative Black Lives Matter is because nobody is speaking up about what's happening to them. Obviously, there's videos being posted, but what I'm going to say about Black Lives Matter, right? I don't wholeheartedly support the Black Lives Matter movement because they're trying to be about peaceful protesting. We're past that. Personally and proudly in my culture, I think about what it would have been if it was my people, right? Mm-hmm. And I can honestly believe and say that if it was Tongan people under the narrative Tongan lives do matter or brown lives do matter, it would have been war by now.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that even one of us died because of a inhumane criminal act by authority and nobody, you know, took action to that lawfully, all hell would have broke loose by now.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that to you know, down the Black community. What I'm saying is that I just seen a video of a group by the name of the NFAC, Not Fucking Around Coalition. And the message that they had portrayed in this video, they had marched to Stone Mountain in Georgia, home of the KKK, one of the most hateful hate groups in the world. They promote white supremacy and white power by, you know, speaking that they're the superior race over all races and that Black people will deserve to die. A dangerous narrative like that created the NFAC, which is now Black people taking the narrative and saying, fuck that, we're going to protect ourselves even if it means fucking your ass up. And why that's important is because now the narrative of Black Lives Matter changes into Black lives are going to stand up for themselves now. And when I seen this video of them talking about, you know, we're no longer about peace, we're not with Black Lives Matter because we're not about protesting peacefully, that struck a chord in me because I just realized how history was just now made in that statement.
Yeah.
That Black people in that group in the NFAC are no longer going to take this shit anymore. Yeah. They were armed to the teeth with guns, heavily, heavily guarded with bulletproof vests, but they were tactically, you know, organized and they knew what they were doing. A militarized Black army. Like, it was beautiful to see because it was a voice of we empower ourselves now to stand up to you, which is the evil you bring upon us in this country of America. And honestly, I've got to say, about time. You know what I'm saying? I can't speak the same if it happened to us, if we're going to do it now, but I will say this, we would be really, really inspired to be like, fuck that, let's go now, let's do this. But watching that video, that's what I believe how Black Lives Matter should move now. The same way the NFAC did. It's not about talking peacefully. They're not listening to you. This is damn near coming close to 100 years of oppression after slavery. You know what I'm saying? They're just going to keep listening to you guys peacefully protest, but they won't do anything for you. So when the NFAC did that, I came into agreement that I don't believe in Black Lives Matter, the movement, but Black lives do matter and they should stand up for themselves. So that's where I'm at with that.
Yeah, I think you've covered it up. You know, I think they're not listening. That's the most main important
thing. The powers that be or the authority.
Just fight back is all we can do as of now. Like, I mean, like, it sucks to say it that way, but I'll tell you what, we're not trying to talk down on the Black people. It's just that Tongan would just fight back. Yeah. And you know what I mean? What can we lose? We're already losing everything.
We're not promoting violence or anarchy, but like, I will say, a rebellion was bound to happen because you keep treating Black people that way. you know, white people should feel an unease because of the lack of knowledge you failed to educate your families on. Yeah. So yeah. This is the repercussions of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what I'm at.
Yeah, I love the passion. Yeah, that's all I got. I'm good with it.
Okay. So right now, we're going to take our last and final break before we finish off the first episode. Hey, season two, we're back,
we're
baby.
We're back, man. We lit.
And, yeah, so go and do what you do, whether you're using the bathroom or, you know, you got to go smoke one and then come back. Or if not, just wait. But, yeah, go take a break and we'll be right back to finish the discussion. Final quarter of the game, guys. So we have the last generation and Zulu. What would you like to speak on?
The last generation.
Okay. So what this highlights as far as in the conversation is that, you know, back in season one, we probably weren't clear about it. Me and my wife had spoke on an issue about our parents and how sometimes because our parents missed the mark, we might hold it against them. If we weren't clear, we never said that we're not grateful, but we were just highlighting the fact that because they missed those marks, they were such big marks that affected us in our development as far as growing up. And what last generation basically represents is we just want to say not only thank you, but how grateful and how humbled we are by the hard work of our parents. We understand that we don't talk as much. You know, our moms and dads with us. We understand that there's not that great of a relationship. And, you know, sometimes we say things that are harsh to each other as far as parents versus the children. We're at a point in our life now where we are in our age where we're just not only grateful, but now stepping into their shoes, we understand how hard it could have been for them, why they made the decisions they made. And to be honest, If I'm not clear about it, basically what I'm saying in terms is that to my mother and my father, I love you, I thank you, I understand, and if I made you feel or if I said something unclear, I apologize. I don't know how hard it was at that time, but thank you for going through what you went through for me to be here. So how do you feel about that?
No, thank you for saying that. For me, it's almost like a hurtful subject to talk about, and I've mentioned it before. I'm already over it. It's just like it reminded me of how far I've came as far as with my parents, you know what I mean? And I have such a great relationship with my dad. As far as my mother, I grew up with my mother. You know, not grew up with her, but I was around her more than I was with my father. And I do want to tell you guys, I thank you guys for the life that you guys have given me. I thank you for the hard work that you guys put into it. And even though if you guys didn't understand that then as parents, I do want to let you guys know that I'm grateful. I'm blessed to be here. And from here on out, it's like what I'm doing. You know what I mean? I've just come to a realization and accepted the fact that there's gonna be a time. There's gonna be times where it's gonna hurt a little to think that my mother or my father can't be here to have a relationship with my kids. But the one thing that I do know is that I do know this: I'm gonna be a better mother. I'm going to be a great mother, and I'm going to be what I've always wanted a mother to be, you know, because for me. So with that being said, even for a father, like, you know, I have great relationship with my father and not so with my mother. And I've accepted the fact that it's going to be like that at times. That's how life is going to be. There's going to be a time when my kids are going to grow up. They're going to make their own decisions and things like that. The one thing that us as parents have to understand that you got to let them be. You have to let them go through the things they go through. And I think that because my parents were so old school, they've carried it on to something that it won't work that way. You know what I mean? We don't have communication, but yet you want me to act this way. We don't sit down and have a family time, but you want me to act that way. Or you don't give me advice, but yet you want to come into my life. You know, things like that. So with that being said, even to my husband, my in-law, parents, I'm grateful for whatever the little time that you guys do have, the things that you guys continue to do. We're just so grateful. And I just want to be the best version of myself, you know. Not so much I blame my mom for not being there for the time that she wasn't. Because even those times, I'm grateful. You know, I went through it for a reason, so.
For sure, in further detail, what me and my wife are speaking on, you know, this pertains to the uncles and the aunties that raised us, the older cousins, the older brothers and sisters that raised us. You know, even family friends that just meant well and did the best they could to teach us something, right? That we hold that in our heart near and dear, very important, because we still teach it to this day, whatever those lessons were. I know to my aunties and uncles, and you know who you are, whether it be on my mom and my dad's side, I love you guys. I know you guys tried your best to teach me what you could, and I don't hold it against you. And if I said something in season one in those specific episodes that might have made you feel a type of way, I said that with understanding. I didn't say that with lack of understanding. And if I wasn't clear about this, I love you for loving me the way you did, because it taught me how not to make that mistake, but how better to improve from that lesson. So now I'm in a crossroads, and I had mentioned this on a shout out to our brothers at Tough Blog Podcast and their new entity and a company, I Got Media. They have a new content dropping called On High, but I had elaborated on that where I was
happy
saying,
birthday to DJ.
Yeah, as of recording this episode, it's his birthday, so shout out to our brother DJ Tufele of Tough Blog Podcast. But as I was saying, I had elaborated on their segment On High, where I was basically talking about the things I've learned and I adapted, and how I feel about my insecurities as a father now is I don't have the luxury personally to have insecurities. I just don't have that luxury now. Anything I mess up on, I just got to recover quickly. The insecurities that I have, very valid, are making mistakes in front of my kids and getting called out on them by my kids, right? Should I ever lie to them about anything? I hope they check my ass.
Yeah.
I'm going to be embarrassed. It's going to hurt. But just like how I said all that good shit about my parents, I better be able to reciprocate the same energy when my kids do it to me.
That's right.
So, and you know, I know it's not going to be a perfect road, but me and my wife are really doing the best we can to work at it. So.
Yeah. And I think that's the beauty of it, is just recognizing the things that we didn't want to be, to not doing it or repeating it. Yeah. You know, and I think that's the most important thing as far as the growing that we've had as a person personally and now together as a couple. I give all the love and good vibe to our parents, but from here on out, we're just grateful for the last generation, but this is us.
This is a whole new movement.
So, I'm good with it.
I'm good.
Yeah.
So, moving forward, Zulu. The story of Zulu. So Zulu is our son, Heinrich Sanf Lealiki, who was recently just born in June. And in the time of quarantine and COVID-19, why we wanted to highlight this was my wife had hit some real complicated, me and my wife, as far as health and family-wise, how this whole pregnancy was going on. If you remember from the last season, we had highlighted it on our final episode, episode 12, we weren't sure how we were going to have this baby due to the times, but we knew this. We trusted in God to help us. And honestly, he came through, man. Like, Jah the Almighty come true for us. I honestly... sorry. We watched Red Table Talk with Jada and Will Smith, the episode, the Father's Day episode, and, you know, we caught that thing.
But when we're ready to cry.
So highlighting Zulu, my son, Heinrich Sanf Lealiki, named by my father. It was important to speak on this because during COVID-19, the crisis, I felt how uneased my wife was, how at unease she was, that it almost felt like she was just lost hope. So would you like to speak on that?
Yeah, man. You just...
Remember that?
It just reminded me, like...
Reflections. Oh, you're so ugly.
Ugly. Nah, man. It was probably like the most emotional time.
Speak on it.
For me, because all my emotion was all over the place. We're in the middle of, like, getting evicted from my mother's house. And I trusted him. I trusted God with everything in me. Like, and just so much happening, you know. But the one thing that I kept together was my family. It's just having to have a clear mind just so I can... I'm the mother, you know, and I can't be weak in front of a fold in front of my kids. So I think the number one thing that I kept telling myself with my son, you know, God is good, man, because my son, he ended up in the hospital for a week. But it was almost felt like it was all the stress that were put in us, that it was on him. So he's good now, but that was the reason why, like, I feel like we had so much stress going, and we kept trying to hide it, you know, be with our kids. Because, you know, my kids are just thinking, like, we're going on vacation. We're going from a hotel to another hotel to another hotel. And it was fun for them. It was kind of like a memory that we were building. But for Sulu, my son, like, you know, he's still in me. Everything that I'm feeling, he's feeling. And even up to having him, man, it's just like, I look back at it now, and I'm like, how did we do it? How were we able to just cope with it? You know, and even at that, we did pray and believe in it, but it was so emotional for me because I think about all the times that just I just could have given up. Like, I'm done, you know, and just going through that times, it was very emotional. So that's what I was feeling at the time, like knowing that, man, I'm pregnant, and now I'm going through, I should have went through this when I wasn't pregnant. You know, so I think, like, sometimes when we think we know what's the plan ahead of us, it's not. God see it and he laughs at it. You think that your plan is gonna go through. So I'm grateful that I went through that. So how'd you deal with it?
So my son's name is Heinrich Samuel Leiliki. My father named him, and the meaning of his name is Heinrich. It is basically Henry in German. And Heinrich is actually an ancestor of mine on my father's side, and yet it is my name. Yeah. That is my American government name, Henry. And I thought that was that spoke volumes to me of what that meant between me and my father. Sam is my father's last name. That is my father's family and where I hail from. If I was actually to grow up with my father, and you guys know the story about that since season one, I would have been Henry Sam. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't the case. So we highlighted Samp in my son's name because it was a unification or a coming together of both families, my mother and my father, and of course Leiliki being my last name. And Zulu is not on the birth certificate, but why it's highlighted, why I named my son that way, it's the history behind the Zulu tribe in Africa. Tell them to shut the hell up. Yeah, we got tough love for our kids. There's no harshness, but we love our kids. Anyways, so Zulu, I wanted to highlight that. It was the mentality. I didn't have to put it on the birth certificate. If my son heard me call him that, eventually he's going to inquire and try to figure out the meaning of his own name someday. But Zulu to me was important because I did want that in the name, but it was important to me and my wife to highlight the key things in the relationship between me, my father, and my mother, which was Heinrich Samuel Leiliki. Why I wanted to call my son Zulu. I've always wanted to be a superhero when I was a little kid, or, you know, something influential, right? I always thought the lifestyle of a warrior was cool and stuff. And then I looked into the history, when I was learning about African history, about the Zulu tribe or the Zulu nation in Africa, they were such a dominant tribe. And Shaka Zulu, the leader of the Zulu tribe, was such a dominant and inspiring leader that I just thought, man, I would love to my son to encompass that, to embody that one day. So that's why I call him Zulu. And if you ever hear me call him that, that's in regards to Zulu history and in African history. So yeah, but that is the significance behind that. And I don't want to speak too much about it. I'm going to release content. If you're not following us now on YouTube, go ahead and do that. We'll release the content. But I documented how hard it was to have our son at that time dealing with the whole COVID-19 situation and what my wife was going through and what I was going through. We will drop that. But yeah, it was tough, man. But I'm just glad we came out on the other side, and I'm thankful to God and Jah the Almighty for blessing us with another baby.
Yeah.
And you know, from here, we just ride it till the wheels fall off because we believe. So it's I'm good beautiful. With that.
I am great with that, man. Huh? So, you know what? That's my son, man. Yeah. My son.
So that was our first installment of season 2, episode 1. We would like to thank first and foremost our Heavenly Father for just blessing us with a platform and a voice to speak up. We would like to mention that we still don't have any sponsors. And if you need two crazy people to advertise your product or your item, we're right here.
I'm right here, man.
Shout outs. We want to shout out all the PI podcasters once again, our family members, and anybody just going through it right now, that you'll make it. And final feast, what do you have? What you want to say before we go?
Keep grinding, man. To keep the same energy from the good and the bad, you'll see what I'm talking about, man.
Yeah. And I just wanted to say, there's nothing wrong with masturbating. Yeah. Masturbation is natural. So, I mean, it's a part of human nature and physiology. It just happens. But, yeah, with that being said, from me and my wife to you, season 2, episode 1, Savages, we're back. Above all else... God bless.